Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the ride.
Our show off just about every, the last four episodes we've done it like this. All right, 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747 is the number to call to participate in tonight's episode. This entire week has been dedicated to men. We call it the man episodes because the reality is we as men have to heal. And in the process of this whole socialization conditioning that goes on in society where we're taught to be hard, we're taught to be in some level of control, these things have largely gotten out of hand. And most of us, most brothers that have gotten themselves in situations domestically with a significant other, wife, girlfriend, whatever she might be, largely have come back with the excuse of, this is just how I was raised. This is just how, my dad did it. This is how my granddad did it. This is how, whoever did it, and my uncle so-and-so did it this way. Either way it goes, it's time to heal, guys. It's time to come full circle. And what are we teaching our young men and boys in the grand scheme of upbringing these days? Are we teaching them that putting your hands on your girlfriend, your woman is cool? Is you're teaching them that the girl is property? If that's what you're teaching them, you and I are going to have a problem. I'm just going to put it like that. Whatever happened to peace and love? Whatever happened to bringing that home after a long day of work? Whatever happened to taking a deep breath when the altercation jumps off? And if you're in a situation where your girl may seem to be provoking you, or she's pushing your buttons, or she's doing something that otherwise would get under your skin, how do you deal with that? How do you comport yourself? Do you immediately fly off the handle because you're emotionally unstable? I told you all yesterday that, you know, lack of anger management skills and mental illness ultimately are excuses. There is a socialization issue in this country that has allowed men to have some life of privilege to basically degrade, demean, and undermine the blessing, if you will, that is that woman in your life. And we're going to talk about that. Now, guys, if by chance during the next 55 minutes you hear a bunch of noise or chatterbox in the background, that's only because they're doing work here in the studio. They're doing some things. Again, I mentioned last night that we're going to be moving the show to Calgary, Canada. Well, at least where the studio is. The show will continue to be worldwide. And, of course, you know, podcasted all over the world. And we pray and hope that obviously someone notices the intention and the message, and that someone maybe takes a deep breath. You know, some man along this world doesn't lash out at his woman and maybe just takes a deep breath and relaxes a little bit and thinks things through. And that's really all you can ask these brothers today. Think it through. As I said last night, I'm really tired of going down to 26 in California and meeting brothers and praying with them and hearing their stories of how they got upset over dinner being made wrong, got upset because your dog had an accident on the new hardwood floor, and they took it out on the wife or the children. Really, man? That's why you're here? You couldn't control yourself? You blamed her for everything? Then I hear the brothers always say, well, she's not a fit mom. Tell me more. And so when you ask him to tell you more, you start to find out that that's still whatever your perception or whatever your opinion was did not justify the act of putting your hands on her. I want to share with you an article from April of 2011 tonight about a situation that happened down in Texas. I'm going to share that with you tonight and a bunch of things. Getting us started, though, tonight in our spoken word, tonight is Kindred Spirit. So next 3 minutes, all belongs to Kindred. Talk to you soon.
Okay, so in May of 2010, I went on a cruise to Cozumel, Mexico with a friend of mine and some of her friends to renew her wedding vows. There were five of us that kind of hung out together. And over the course of talking to each other on the boat over 4 or 5 days, I found out that out of the five of us, four of us had been victims of sexual abuse in our childhood. And, statistics tell you it's one out of every four. I think it's way more than that. And so I ended up writing this piece called Kindred Spirits, about how many of us there are, and just what that is, what that's like. So, this is Kindred Spirits. Kindred Spirits would be a nice way to put it. Survivor would be a proud title to attach. But the honest admission of abuse victims is more accurate, and I've met more of these sisters than I care to admit these days. Beautiful but self-conscious, confident while full of doubt, wanting to be found attractive while managing this thing of balance misdirection, because we always associate the two with impending destruction, and people wonder why we're crazy, slightly off balance. We're always suspected for having to live our lives. When childhood bedrooms become war zones instead of safe havens in which to launch our dreams. When mothers can't be our confidants because we wish for no one else to witness our shame, so we suffer. Some of us quietly. Others in the shouts and screams of our aggression and independence. It's no wonder we leave you confused. See, we don't come with identifying marks. There's no way to tell one from the other. They don't hang signs around our necks for easy identification, but God, sometimes I wish they did. Because I think the sheer number would astound you. Maybe even confound you, because we outnumber the innocents by a mile. We are the majority, wishing to be the minority so that we can enjoy their privileges. Of having bad touch, only be the letters written on a teddy bear diagram in first grade, and mirrors not becoming reflections of battered little girls who into damaged grown women we have been made. Why can't these be our experience? Why were we selected to be a part of this multitude who survived while permanently disabled by our abuse? I'm sick of asking these questions and all the others like them, because there is no answer other than this. This is your life. One of adversity and strife. And while I would have wished for you something different, a little less emotionally significant, I pray that it's made you stronger, tougher to break. At least then I know in the end you'll find your way through the twists and turns of heartbreak, the loneliness that comes from a lack of understanding, and the feeling of abandonment when those you thought would be there leave. While it may be tough and someday seemingly impossible to achieve, keep pushing, diva. Hold your head high and plant your feet. And the next time adversity comes, remember your fairy tale, the stuff of grown woman dreams, and eventually you'll find peace.
And that is Kindred Spirits. From the 808 caller. Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
I'm good. Who am I talking to?
It's the oldest wife from Galesburg. Vincent, how's it going?
Fantastic, Theodos. Welcome to the show.
All right, thank you.
So, you have an opinion, perspective? Talk to me a little bit.
No, not really. Actually, I just dialed in. I was a little late. I tried to call earlier, but I got busy. I'm still kind of working right now, so I chose to take this call. I missed the last conference that you had on a woman's
okay.
Island. So, I made sure I tuned in today.
Well, I appreciate that, Theodos. I mean, we need...
I'm going to listen and see if I can catch anything that I could use.
Well, I appreciate that, man. Again, yeah, we've been espousing now for at least the last 2 weeks heavily and hard that, you know, while women have been fighting this battle for their not only the safety, but their certain civil rights forever, that greater than all that is the reality that this problem has transcended into a man problem. And largely, it's always been a man problem. You know, how do we port ourselves? And maybe that's a question I should ask you. When challenges and trepidations in your household, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, come your way, how do you deal with them?
Me, I tried to let the situation calm down, you know, diffuse it. I've learned with my woman, it's not always best to try to talk about the problems at the time. She gets heated, so either I try to find something else to do in the house, or I might go out for a walk or go water the grass or something to that effect until... You know, I find out that she's calmed down, and, you know, maybe sometimes I get heated, I might calm down, and then we try to sit down and talk about it, hash things out.
Well, let me ask you this question. Have you ever been in a situation, because we had some of the sisters, you know, and I guess I call them hardline sisters, that call right. in and say that there's provocation allows, you know, sometimes they'll even start something just to see if they can get a rise or response out of them, and they had no idea it would escalate to where it was. Have you ever been in a situation where you kind of came home maybe after a long day of work and you weren't necessarily met with a lot of love and peace?
Yeah, many times, unfortunately.
And you mentioned it, is walking away probably the easiest thing to do, or is there, you know, anything you can say to kind of quell that angst that's waiting for you when you walk in the door?
From my experience being here, unfortunately, I live in Hawaii, so just an argument can be construed as domestic violence here in Hawaii where I'm at.
Is that right?
So it's they've really taken the law here and they've ran with it. They, you know, it pretty much depends on what area you're in, what police officer comes, and things like that. And if, you know, from neighbors who I've seen, if you've been in a situation where they've been called to your house a couple of times or whatever, and you're on their list, God be with you, because just an argument, you know, can be construed as a domestic violence here. So, yeah, to answer your question, I've come home a few times, you know, worked a little later than probably he did. You know, she may have wanted me to, or she needed help at the house, and I've kind of came in a little late. And,
okay.
you know, you just look at that face, and you know that there's something going on. So, you know, you try to ask a couple times, you know, is there something wrong, or, you know, can I help you around the house or something? And,
right.
you know, if you get that look and that answer, it's just better off, you know, just to try to leave it alone until – really calm down.
Yeah,
but yeah,
you know,
I agree with women who try to.
And it is so difficult. And to the good brothers out there in this world, and again, for what it's worth, fellas, there are a lot more of us than there are of the bad ones. Yeah, but unfortunately, in this society, what is magnified so often are, you know. And maybe that's just a problem with our media. We always exacerbate the situation when there's an altercation between a man and a woman. And largely, you know, because we never know the nuts and bolts behind it, we automatically side, you know, we run to the victim, which unfortunately, as you guys have heard the numbers, it's usually a woman. And I've seen articles and just recently done some more research regarding, you know, violence against the brothers from the women. now. And then that'll be a segment we'll probably do within a couple of weeks when we start talking about, you know, stopping violence in relationships, men attacking, you know, whether women attacking men. And I'm sure that will get a wonderful rise in response out of everybody. But Theo, let me ask you one more question. Has there ever been a situation in your life where, you know, something jumped off and she put her hands on you?
Yes, yes.
And how did you handle that? What did you do?
Actually, what I did is I just grabbed my shirt and my clothes and ran out the door.
Say that again?
That's actually what I did. I was actually just getting up in the morning one morning, had on some gym trunks. I actually grabbed my shirt, grabbed my shoes, threw them on and ran out the door and just left.
Well, sometimes
in Hawaii, that's all you have to do. I wouldn't actually do this though, Vincent. When you do your statistics and your studies, Nick, actually look into Hawaii if you can. Look into Hawaii. There's a big domestic violence movement here in Hawaii that's going on. That men, there's a higher number of men being domestic violence. Well, violence happens to men here in Hawaii more than
Excellent.
What you think.
Mike,
so I would ask you to look into the statistics here and see what you find.
Excellent. Well, Theodos, I thank you for your call. Thank you for participating. And don't be shy. Call back again, all right?
All right, brother. I will. God bless
you. Theodos leaves the line open, 512-945. Hi, how are you? Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Benny. This is Patricia Mixon. Used to be Patricia Kropp. You remember me?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So
this is a topic I like.
What's that?
This is a topic that I've been wanting to discuss for a long time because it's very bad.
Okay, all right. Well, since now you're again in the last 2 days, you're the first woman that's called in, so this gives us an opportunity to get obviously a different perspective. You want to talk a little bit about your experience?
Well, not just from what I've seen, but
okay.
Tell me, you know, like he was. I've heard the other caller, and he was talking about Hawaii, but
mm-hmm.
Texas is another place that is there's zero tolerance because a lot of I'm looking at it from a woman's perspective.
Sure.
And there's a lot of women that have been killed, and so they have what they call their own police department. So what it is when you actually would make a phone call to the police department thinking that this is just the police department. No, they actually have their own because it's so much of it there. And somebody's going to jail, you know. So
okay.
When the call is placed, you might as well be ready because somebody's going to jail. The problem is, too, is that I think that a lot of people were raised up in homes that they've seen their parents in abusive relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been passed down from generation to generation. And
right.
So somebody's got to break it somewhere, you know, because I've never been abused in that form, you know, but there's many ways of being abused, you know.
That's
not
right.
Just physically, mentally, you know.
That's right.
So I was just very curious about this topic that you had, you know, because a lot of them have low self-esteem. What do we do to help to build someone's self-esteem? Because as for me, as a woman, I'm very my confidence is up there. I love me for number one, and I'm better than that. Not that I'm conceited. That's
uh-huh.
not it. I'm very confident. Is the difference.
Well, do us a favor now. We've got a woman with a perspective on the line. What advice would you give men? Because, again, these episodes are about the men this time and men
yes,
making
yes.
better decisions and men thinking things through when things jump off. And, again, you know, I've heard a lot of brothers have called in talking about, well, you know, she provoked me, she said this, she did that,
right,
she did this,
right.
And it provoked whatever the case. What advice do you give these brothers out here right now that, you know, and to the good brothers now, like Theodos who just called, what advice do you give
yeah.
them? Because Theodos even said when his thing jumped off, he just grabbed his shirt and ran out the door.
See, I don't, and this is nothing against him. I don't agree with that. I was married to a beautiful man for 22 years, and he just, you know, he died. So that's how I lost him. Our thing was when we had, you know, a disagreement,
mm-hmm.
not a vicious argument or anything, but when we had a disagreement, nobody was going to walk out. And I tell you the reason why is because we're going to settle the issue. Even if we have to, maybe I go to another part of the room for a moment.
Uh-huh.
He goes to another part of the room for a moment, and then we come back together and we talk about the situation. I know this is, you know, some people might say, well, this won't work for me, but here's the situation. When you walk out, then to me, you can be asking for more problems, because maybe one walks out, maybe they go get some liquor, then they're all liquored up, whatever the situation, it might make it even worse, you know. So that's what I would say to the men, is to man up, and this is for the good brothers, you know, and just you know, as being a woman, and how my husband handled it, like I said, we would always come back together, and we would discuss the situation before the end of the night. Now, we might take an hour, might take 2-3 hours, but we never, our policy was not to leave the house. That just wasn't.
See, in modest defense of Theotis and some good brothers, I mean, and again, everyone's situation is certainly unique unto itself, but in the instance where something, a disagreement has arisen, and you obviously have to, well, you mentioned going to another part of the house, we call that a cooling off period. You need to come back down to earth. Whether that cooling off period means walking outside, as Theo said, maybe I'm going to go for a walk and just kind of clear the head, give her time to calm down and relax. Yeah, everyone's unique situation. Obviously, just because you left the house, hopefully it doesn't mean you run into the liquor store. But unfortunately, I'm sure there are brothers out there that have probably gone that route for whatever the reason. But the reality in most cases is, there has to be some type of cooling off period before any dialogue jumps off to, at a minimum, kind of squash, if you will, the what could be an impending bad situation. And the other thing is, how much have we matured as a race of people? Now, when I say race, I don't mean black or white. I mean as a human race. How much have we matured to understand what zero tolerance means to raising your hand to someone else? You know, we hear about the tough laws in Texas, and we hear about, the things that, now in Hawaii, and I've got maybe a little crack staff now digging into Hawaii and some of their laws and rules. I'm wondering, because, Illinois gets a bad rap, New York gets a real bad rap, for not being as hard as maybe some other states are tax dollars are put in play because someone has gotten out of hand, and now you've got 3 or 4 police officers there, and they don't even feel safe because maybe someone's wielding a weapon, or God knows how far this thing has gotten. And how much of this still falls on the man to simply say, this doesn't happen in my household, this is not going to happen in my household? How much of the socialization and colonialization is a factor in that? Like you said, how much of it is upbringing? Were they shown this? Were they taught this? They can put their hands on them. They look at their women as property. I'm thankful if you've never had to do that, and you've been very, very blessed to have a good man in your a lot of the talk for the last few days, have had that same experience. And so they're looking for insight. Uniquely enough, we have learned how to listen to women. And I think that's amazing. Right. Even now, at 49 years old, we need to learn to listen. I used to teach where we would teach listening as a skill. And even I'll give a quick horror story, and because we go back a ways to share this with you, and yes, I'll share the world at the same time. Even earlier today, I'm in my kitchen with my beautiful wife, and I tell everyone I'm spoiled. Okay, I'm spoiled.
Right.
My wife. Okay, she does everything in the world for me, and I'm pampered. I admit it. So we're in the kitchen today, and as we're talking about this, this impending transition, and I'm going to Calgary, Canada, and all these other things, and so it's exciting, but it's also obviously a lot of work. And in the process of trying to do all these things and get all this stuff done, you start to wonder, how are you going to get it all done? Well, the reality is, you really don't know. So you have to lean to each other. So I asked her for her opinion. I said, I need your perspective, your opinion on whether or not this is the right thing to be doing, not only for the show, but for myself, for family. Is this the right thing to do? Yeah, and as supportive as a way as she could, she said, whatever you want to do, I know, this is kind of your passion. This is what you do. You reach out, you help people, you love people, whatever you do. And because I'm a thinker, my first reaction was, but baby, you didn't answer the question. I want your opinion. I don't want you to give me the perfect political speak. I need your opinion. I mean, how's this going to affect you? How's this going to affect us from your perspective? So I needed that feedback. And it took me a minute to understand that she was trying to be kind of just – the supportive wife,
right?
And as much as you appreciate that,
I think that's
that,
beautiful, though.
It is. It absolutely is.
I know you wanted her opinion, but I mean, that's basically how I did. My husband, we owned a restaurant, and he asked me. He worked for UPS for 15 years, and he retired out. And he asked me. He said, "Pat, what is your opinion about this?" He said, because I'm getting ready to sign off. You know, we had talked about it, but he said, now, you know, he was at the job. He said, I'm getting ready, you're signing papers, baby. And I'm like, you do whatever you feel like you need to do. Because I think when you make someone feel secure, I felt very secure. He was my king. And I knew that he knew what to do, and that's what I'm getting from your wife. So it was like, whatever you feel you need to do for you, Vinny, because I know whatever decision you make is going to be the right decision for all of us, because that's how I was. But that helped.
We'll see.
But
now,
I think what the men need to do is I don't know, I just think sometimes we make, all of us, we can make bad judgment calls.
Oh, sure,
none of us are perfect.
Yeah, none of us are perfect. You're right. Yeah, and
right.
I think I find it amazing though that and again, your husband is certainly blessed to have you in his life and in that supportive role. That's a wonderful thing. And I wish more of the brothers in this world, regardless of your ethnicity, your socioeconomic status.
Right.
I wish most of you all, you know, most of us had that situation where, you know, it was a, you know, a bi-directional communication, two-way streets, and, you know, open communication can flow back and forth. You can share of ideas and get to common goals, and you can work toward them together, and you'll be surprised how much happier your total life experience will be when you realize you've got that helpmate. You realize you've got that person to lean on in your life.
But to
the challenge of stopping violence in our society today, and I'm going to get to the top 10 things that you know we can do. But again, these top 10 things, you know, seemingly change. I have to tweak them a little bit because I want to share what you can do as society in the case you run into these situations. Pat, I thank you for your call. Please don't be a stranger. Call me at any time. And again, remember, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. So
I like that. And I love you too, Vinny. Nothing
all right,
you can do about it either.
Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Pat leans the line open. Ladies and gentlemen, you know me. This can always turn into a bit of a love fest. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. Don't hesitate to chime in, give your perspectives, your thoughts on this. A couple of things I want to share with you as we get deeper into men and stopping violence is the issue with the media. It's 7:27 on a Thursday night as we kind of wind this down. This comes from April of 2011. I just want to read this to you and get your perspective on it. I'll preface this by telling you this may get a rise out of you. It certainly may get it's certainly an opinion. But let me share this. To pre-record it and then just play it, but I don't think it'll have the same effect. So let me read it this way. I can at least put it in the right context. This is men speaking out about sex cover of a rape. The rape occurs in Cleveland, Texas. This happens early of 2011, and this is the documentation that's served. In the struggle to stop rape and all forms of men's violence against women, it's time for men to leave the sidelines and get in the game. One important step we can take is to raise our voices and insist that the spotlight in media coverage of rape turns away from the fixation on victims and their behavior and instead focuses on abusive men and boys and the culture that produces and makes excuses for them. We make this demand not only as concerned citizens and responsible members of our communities, but as men from virtually every cultural, racial, ethnic, and religious background. There is some progress to report, albeit progress in response to yet another depressing reminder of how far we still have to come. Consider this. Reaction to the victim blaming in a recent New York Times story about a brutal gang rape in East Texas has been fast and furious. Over the past several weeks, columnists, bloggers, victim advocates, and anti-rape activists, women and men, have criticized the March 8th Times story, remember this is 2011, for the way its use of selective quotes suggested that an 11-year-old girl in effect contributed to the assault against her by wearing makeup and fashion more appropriate to a woman in her 20s. In addition, critics have responded to the perception conveyed in the article that among the residents of Cleveland, Texas, there is greater concern for the 19 men and boys facing allegations of rape than for the young girl. You see, the pause obviously is there for effect. My people. There's greater concern for the 19 men and boys facing allegations of rape than for the 11-year-old girl who was wearing makeup and fashions more appropriate for a woman in her 20s. The Times public editor, Arthur Brisbane, agreed with much of the criticism of the piece. My assessment, he wrote a few days later, is that the outrage is understandable. The story dealt with a hideous crime, but addressed concerns about the ruined lives of the perpetrators without acknowledging the obvious concerns for the victim. The Times front page follows up on the story in March 28th of last year, doing significantly better, offering an extended portrait of the girl, whom they described as having been an honor roll student brimming with enthusiasm. This is an 11-year-old girl, supposedly raped by 19 men. 19 brothers. While I understand our sensitive natures in dealing with hideous crimes and effects of lives of perpetrators, you know, and I can break this down however you want to. If you were involved in a sexual assault of an 11-year-old girl, whatever happens to you, and you're in the state of Texas, and you just heard Pat talk about the zero tolerance policies in Texas, it ain't looking good for them 19 years, okay? I don't care how many cats come in there with activists or, you know, Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson, you know, to try to, you know, squash, you know, terms and everything. If it is true, and again, my grace of God is strong, if it is true that 19 people raped an 11-year-old girl, I pray that it's zero tolerance. That is my heartfelt story, and I stand by it. Let's move on. With 28 left to go in the show, you heard Kindred Spirits earlier. Yesterday you heard American Epidemic. Today I've got something a little bit new for you. I want you to hear the story of the young lady's experience, her first apartment. It's called Victims of DV. It's about 3 minutes long. I'm going to share that with you, and I'm open at 619-639-7747. Again, 619-639-4747. Back after this.
The victims of domestic violence can be anyone, regardless of past family history, income level, or education. The victims of domestic violence are people who thought it could never happen to them, but in fact, it has. She is your sister, your mother, your best friend, your cousin, your coworker. These are our stories.
My friends tell me to just leave. I know they care, but I don't feel like I can confide in them anymore.
People are always shocked to hear I escaped an abusive, violent marriage, that I had to run for my life after living in a hell of despair and fear for several years. No one can imagine a smart, successful, independent woman like myself in that situation. But there I was, trapped in my financial vulnerability and commitment to my son's well-being.
I know it takes two to make a marriage, and we were so happy, and my family loved him. Would they even believe me?
Even if you think you're too smart or too tough to ever get involved with an abusive guy, chances are you'll never see it coming.
There was no doubt in my mind about how hard it would be to survive. He was clear about hurting anyone else in my life who tried to help. He was very clear about my dad. He would remind me that my dad had a bad heart and he would not be able to live through the turmoil.
He was charming, kind, and well-educated. We were married for 7 years before it started.
I couldn't do it anymore. I would rather be dead. That simple. I would rather be dead. Dead was better.
It was safer for my children if I stayed. I knew that if I divorced him, he would be alone with the children for extended periods and I would not be able to protect them.
So something tragic has to happen to my daughter before the courts will intervene? Okay, I thought, so I'll be the supervisor, so I stayed, because the thoughts of the revenge he would take towards our daughter were unbearable.
My child was murdered by my abuser.
My child is now torturing animals, since he has been spending every other week alone with my ex-husband.
My daughter killed herself after the court forced her to go live with her father. Domestic violence is about control, power, and fear. It is about the women in this book, and it is likely to be about someone you know or will know. Buy this book today and read these true stories and learn the real reasons women stay in abusive relationships. A percentage of the proceeds will go to benefit victims and survivors of domestic violence.
Powerful stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Victims of domestic violence. So what do you do? We've heard that 1 in 3 women will be a victim of domestic violence in their lifetime. 1 in 3. And you've heard me on my soapbox now for the longest time saying, this means that you know her. You know someone. You know someone, and again, maybe you don't want to admit it. Maybe it's, and again, if you're in denial, you're in denial. It is what it is. But 1 in 3. And the scary thing for me is numbers don't lie. We used to say in the sales industry, you know, documentation beats conversation every day of the week. And it's so true. It is so, so true. So what do you do? How can you help the friend or family member who's being abused? What can you do? Well, there are some things you can do, and I'm going to share them with you right now. I'm going to take my time with this, again, because, well, thankfully, it's kind of, yeah, at some point we'll get to the point of naming this the Vinnie Moore Show or the Vincent Moore Show. We'll get to that. You know, we'll have some fun with that later on because, you know, everyone knows that I do the fastest 60 minutes in sports on the weekend. You all know that this has been a faith mission of love. Again, I lost my mother back in 2006. My father passed away back in 84. And I shared with you all what he shared with all of us boys as we were growing up, the significance and importance of being a man and what it meant to be a man from his perspective. And this is a guy with a sixth-grade education who made sure we understood that raising your hand to a woman was not acceptable. It wasn't tolerable in any way, shape, or form. Whether you had to walk away, whether you had to turn away, whether you had to just hold your tongue and put your face down in your dinner plate and keep eating, there was a right time and place for every discussion. My father and mother used to have their discussions at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning when it was just the two of them in their bedroom. And every now and then, if I was really, really, you know, not knocked out sleep, I could hear those discussions. You know, we had one of those wall radiators in the closet in my home in Galesburg, and sometimes you could hear those discussions. And every now and then they got a little heated and a little opinionated. But at no point in their relationship of 44-plus years, you know, did I ever see him ever raise a hand to her? Did I ever see him do anything that was remotely that falls in any of the categories that we deem as abuse today? He loved my mother. And again, till death did they part. And then my mother was blessed to meet Leo Cowan, who to this day is still alive down in downstate Galesburg. You know, Leo's in his 90s now. He's outlived two wives, and he's still one of the greatest men that I know to this day. So anyway, back to what you can do to help your friend and member who's being abused. First and foremost, if you are aware or you know in some way, shape, or form that something is going on, well, tighten up your bootstraps because, number one, you cannot be afraid to let them know that you're concerned for their safety. Help the friend or family member recognize that what they're going through is indeed abuse. Tell him or her what you see. Tell them what you see. Tell them what you think is going on and that you want to help. And to some degree, you may have to help them recognize that what is happening isn't normal, because a lot of times they think that's just what's going on, so it's just normal. And remind them that they deserve a healthy and nonviolent relationship. It is absolutely critical. Remind them that they deserve to be happy. Number two, acknowledge that he or she is in a very difficult and scary situation. Let them know that the abuse is not their fault. Reassure him or her that they're not alone and that there is help and support out there. You know, we give out this National Domestic Hotline number every single time we do this, 800-799-SAFE, 800-799-SAFE. Number three, be supportive. Listen to your friend or family member. Remember that it may be difficult for them to talk about the abuse. Let them know that you're available to help them whenever they may need it. What they need most is someone who will believe and listen to them, not judge them. 619-639-4747. Again, 619-639-4747. We move on. I need you to be non-judgmental. Respect your friend or family member's decisions. There are many reasons why victims stay in abusive relationships. He or she may leave and return to that relationship many times. Do not criticize his or her decisions or try to guilt them. He or she will need your support even more during these times. Also, encourage them to participate in activities outside the relationship with friends or family. You know, one of the things that happens in many abusive relationships is isolation. You know, they've taken them away from the family, they've taken them away from their kinfolk, so to speak. You know, they can't do anything. In the economic side, he's controlling the money. She has no access to it. And literally, he's in complete control of everything she does, up to and including her thought process. If he or she ends the relationship, continue to be supportive of them. Even though the relationship was abusive, your friend or family member may still feel sad and lonely once it's over. He or she will need time to mourn the loss of the relationship and will especially need your support at that time. Also, help them develop a safety plan. Yeah, and guys, if I can find this, and this, I think this is kind of important, if we can find the story, yeah, there it is. Let's share with the callers Pauletta's story, because I think that's significant in terms of that help process at this point. So 19 left in the run, again, a time to heal. You're surely Vinnie Moore sitting at, I used to say Vinnie Moore at the Wheels of Steel back in the days. For those of you in Galesburg, y'all know that. But anyway, today this is obviously a much more sensitive issue. I want you to check out Pauletta's story. Listen intently because this is pretty powerful. 619-639-4747. Give me a call with your opinions and thoughts. This is Pauletta's story.
Dear Aubrey, as a child, I watched and learned, but never had I imagined you were watching and learning too. Just like me, you learned that love came with a price. Like a waterfall, it came crashing down on us, soaking our generations, drowning us, and submerging us beneath the surface of reality. You were beautiful, intelligent, talented, and confident. You had dreams and aspirations, and pursued them with strong ambition, always reaching for the stars. But you seemed to give up on your dreams. I saw the confidence slowly abandoning you. I recognized the sign because of how your stepdad made me suffer for so many years. I heard the fear in your voice as you explained how the man you loved followed you around, watching your every move, and how he made you feel unsafe and afraid. I miss seeing you on the holidays, at our cookouts, and at the dinner table on Sundays. I missed your voice when I didn't hear from you for weeks. This was totally out of your character. I became more and more concerned. I called your closest friend, but they too had not seen you in a while. My social butterfly was no more. When you called me tearful in the middle of the night, distressed and distraught, I felt your pain. I was tearful too because I loved you and wished you only happiness. I did everything I could to let you know it didn't have to be this way. Like I said, I recognized the signs. Then you called one day and sounded so excited, and I was excited too about the plans to start a new life without him. And I was proud as you spoke with a renewed confidence. When we said our I love yous and our goodbyes, I didn't realize it would be the last time I would hear your voice. I'll never forget that cold December day in the hospital when the doctors told me that there was no hope. My greatest fear had come true. My heart was breaking as I watched your young life slip away from me. You were only 21 years old. With a single gunshot, the man you once loved and trusted, and who had taken everything, your confidence, your family, and your friends, had finally taken your life. It's been nearly 6 years, and I still can't believe you're gone. I miss my beautiful songbird, the smile and the voice that would greet me each day. I long to embrace you, if only for just a moment. But your voice still speaks to me and through me. With love and kisses, Mommy.
So I hearken back now to if he or she ends the relationship, continue to be supportive of them even though the relationship was abusive. Help them or her develop a safety plan. Far too many of us, including myself, have seen the worst happen right after what seemed to be a good thing. In other words, she's gotten out of that situation. She's run away. She's separated from that situation only to have that man, that boy, come back with violence in his heart, with, you know, unfortunately, dangerous intentions. And far too many of our precious flowers, our daughters, our girlfriends, our wives are being killed by these abusers because someone has tried to break the stronghold. It touches me deep, and I always pause when I hear that because it's real to me. Encourage him or her to talk to people who can provide the help and guidance. You know, sometimes you just have to find a local domestic violence agency that provides counseling or some support groups. And, you know, as a friend, offer to go with him or her to talk about, you know, to talk to family and friends, get some help. If he or she has to go to the police, you know, a courtroom or a lawyer, if you can, go with them for moral support. They're going to need it. And again, if domestic abuse has not touched your life, God bless you. I pray it never does. I pray that the man or the woman in your life is everything that you hope they would be, and you all are in great space. Remember, of course, that you cannot rescue him or her. Although it is difficult to see someone you care about getting hurt, ultimately the person getting hurt has to be the one to decide that they want to do something about it. It is important for you to support him or her and help them find a way to safety and to peace. If you or someone you know needs help, please call the domestic hotline. The National Domestic Hotline number is 800-799-7233. 800-799-7233. Family, you're not alone. And again, yeah, it still brings a bit of a tear to my eye when you hear numbers 1 and 3. It brings a tear to my eye when I hear 1 out of every 9 in Massachusetts ends in death. There are strong, beautiful flowers out here known as our women. The Bible reminds us that they are the crown of the throne. Huh. That is the tip of the crown that sits upon my head. I must hold my wife in high regard. That is the ordination from the man upstairs. I'm reminded from the days of sitting in many, many pulpits for a lot of years. One of my favorite scriptures is from Ephesians. It says, I beseech you, brethren, as a prisoner of the Lord, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. And I'm always reminded that so many of us fail to do that. We're too busy concerned about our own personal self-indulgences, controlling someone, getting what it is we want out of a situation. And maybe the full circle is the reality that society is flawed. It's flawed. We've talked over and over about the different types of abuse, and for those of you who may not, maybe didn't get them or maybe didn't quite understand them, I'll tell you what. Let's run down them real quick. Yeah, and again, signs of abusive relationship and the types that are there that are documented. Understanding domestic violence is a pattern of behavior used to establish power and control over another person through fear and intimidation, often including threats and use of violence. There is emotional abuse. There is physical abuse. There's economic abuse. There's sexual abuse. Let me say them again. Emotional, physical, economic, and sexual. Emotional abuse, simple, being insulted, intimidated, humiliated, isolated. This is some of the more hidden signals that a relationship may be abusive. Abusers often maintain power over their partners through behaviors that lower a partner's self-esteem and make them feel helpless. Physical abuse, again, whether you watch television, if you haven't lived under a rock, you're real familiar with being slapped, kicked, punched, pushed, choked. And again, these are obvious physical signs that a relationship is abusive. Bruises, scratches, welts, cuts, broken bones, all these things may result. But abusers may consciously hurt victims in ways that avoid detection by the casual observer. Then there's economic abuse. Being denied access to money is a more subtle sign of abuse. Taking your paycheck, withholding bill payments are samples of economic abuse. It leads to financial dependence on him and an effective method of power and control. Then there's sexual abuse. And this is where, I talked about this even last night, the utilization of pornography. Sexual abuse can include a wide range of forced or unwanted sexual activity, including touching and suggestive or offensive comments, being forced to have sex against your will, which is rape. Even if the perpetrator is your husband, your boyfriend, I would hope and pray that, and I say this tongue in cheek because, if the numbers bear it out, it's true. Some of you all listening to this show right now have been victims of this. Your man has popped in a porn flick because he wants you to do whatever he's about to show you in this flick. He wants you to perform the same act that you see on the screen with him. And it gets broader than that. Now he wants you to do it with his partners. And he's controlling you. But as we said earlier, as a friend, you can only truly help those who want to be helped. That person has to decide that enough is enough. They have indeed had it. They're done. They have had enough, and it's time for a change. But now let's get back to the men, because I said, this is the man show. Brothers, we have to simply improve. And I know that a lot of you would love to get on the Vinny bandwagon, love to get on the, you know, I've never raised a hand to my woman, I've never done this, I've never done that. Yeah, we're all perfect. No, partner. At 7:50 p.m. Chicago time on the 23rd of February, I'm going to tell you, no one here is perfect. We've all fallen short. We've all made mistakes. We've all said some things that we're not too proud of. And I'm thankful to simply sit here and tell you that I've never raised a hand to my wife and I've never called her out of her name. The unique thing is she can't say that. Did you hear what I said? She can't say that. Because, brothers, it was, and I give God all the glory in the world for this, but when a time comes when she provokes or attempts to provocate, attempts to get you off your square, she's going to say something. She's going to raise a hand and she's going to push you. She's going to shove you. The last time I checked, I want you to grab that mirror and look at it hard. You're in control of you. This is why I don't mind Theotis grabbing his shirt and walking out the door and going for a walk. This is why I understand why Pat said, you know, we needed space, you know, before we could come back together. We needed a cooling off period to resolve some things. And I thank both of them for their calls and their chiming in their perspective tonight. It's absolutely critical. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, peace can be brought about in many different ways. But from the man's perspective, as ordained by the man upstairs, you're responsible. You're accountable. Stop blaming her for the shortcomings. We talked even recently what to do when you yourself have forgotten a birthday, or you've forgotten, you know, an anniversary, or you've done something wrong, and you know you've come home and she knows you forgot, you know you forgot, and now comes your moment of hopefully contrition in trying to fix it. You know, and I heard some of our activists that really have a problem with Robin Thicke's song "Love After War." Many of our women love that song because they always say makeup sex is the best sex. Well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I mean, while that may be true in many different circles, and it's enough certainly to sell millions and millions of copies of the record, it shouldn't be like that. Love and peace should reign in your world. Love and peace should be at the forefront of your process of every decision that you make. So how do you get yourself to that point? How do you stop thinking about the generations and generations of people who've abused other people to get what they wanted? What is your process for making good decisions? How do we break the generational curse that is tied to, you know, lineages of abuse? It's got to start at the society level. It's got to start with the way we teach our young men and our boys. I told you last night, Nuck Nuck, Pookie and them, they're watching. They're seeing how we comport ourselves, how we carry ourselves. You know, if they see us put our hands on mama, what do you think they're going to do when they get their first girlfriend and she gets out of sorts? Because my daddy did it. My daddy's daddy didn't. My grandfather didn't. And every now and then, there's that one genetic, you know, DNA strand in the single that may have the ability to say, "No, that's not what I'm on. That's not what I'm about." And I'll give you a quick little funny little segue. I had a pet once. I had a dog, and this dog didn't act like any other dog I'd ever had before. She wasn't aggressive. She didn't like to play. Didn't chase a ball around the house. Just was odd. And I found it interesting that of all the dogs that all of them the same type now, all of them were black labs. This one was just odd. All came from the same mom. Just had a whole different. And so I look at that situation and thinking, will that type of situation be what it's going to take to break that generational curse? Or is that the one blessing thrown, the one fly in the ointment, if you will, thrown in the equation to show others how they can carry themselves? That you don't have to be aggressive or assertive. You know, I heard the brothers Ulister and Suleiman talking on various clips through YouTube and everything else about the men stopping violence, and that it has to start at the the lowest common denominator, which is us, brothers. That's us. We got to stop. We got to lead by example. We got to be the word. And again, even in the documentation that I've got, yes, it clearly, in big, bold letters, reminds us that we, the men, we are the work. We are the work. So can we do this? Can we indeed do this? Can we reach out to young brothers across the aisle, across the various socioeconomic situations, and can we reach them? Can we show them how to love, how to cherish, how to reverence? Can we rein our sisters back in so maybe they don't feel as compelled to be quite so loud and combative? I believe we can. And maybe I'm a little naive, and I'll take that to my grave. I'd love to believe that brothers and sisters can come back to the table without all the finger-pointing, with all the profanity, without all the law-talking, and certainly without the violence. My name is Vincent Moore. I love my family. I love my wife. I reverence my family, and I reverence my wife. I've made many mistakes in my day. Perhaps the greatest one I made was putting a young lady on a pedestal that perhaps she wasn't ready for. And my expectations were incredibly high. And when she couldn't live up to some of those expectations, I conveniently removed her from that pedestal. Now, hearing that, at no point did I ever raise a hand to her, call her out her name. I simply lowered my expectations. It sounds easy, doesn't it? It sounds as if that's really just so simple, Vince. Just, okay, you know what? My wife doesn't do X well, so I'm just going to lower my expectations. Is it that simple for us? I think it's easier said than done. Many of you guys have been married, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you struggle. You struggle because you really want to say something that maybe is going to hurt the other person's feelings, but you feel like you got to get it off your chest. Well, my brothers, that's one where I think you need to take a page out of Theotis' documentation and just walk away, give yourself some space. It is absolutely important that men own this problem. We own this. Women have been fighting this battle for eons, and their battle won't stop. The same women that are fighting this battle are the same women that fought the battle for breast cancer research, and they're raising millions of dollars with Susan G. Komen to this day. And this is a dark issue, and I say dark because no one wants to shed light on this domestic violence, but states are now coming out with zero-tolerance policies left and right telling you, don't do this. If you call us and it's a domestic violence issue, someone is going to jail. It's that simple. Zero tolerance. Now, you get there, and maybe it was a misunderstanding. They're not trying to hear that. All they know is that a domestic violence situation jumped off here. That's what they know. And they're going to look to the man. They're going to look to us. And I told you before, 26 in California is not the place you want to be on a misunderstanding. So comport yourself in the appropriate manner. And I say appropriate manner, you know, again, I don't want to come off as, you know, suddenly as if I'm looking down at any brother. That's not the case. Stay out of trouble. Stay out of harm's way when it comes to things of this nature. There are appropriate times, you know, for every season, every time. I mean, and again, forgive me for butchering the scripture. Every time there's a season. There you go. Thank you. Okay. There's a time for everything. There's a time for that dialogue to take place in your bedroom at night when it's the two of you talking about whatever those issues are. Have that conversation. Have the conversation. Don't have the pissing match. Don't have the bitch out. Don't have the fight. Have the conversation. Learn to listen to each other. Absolutely critical. Brothers, can we listen to our sisters? Can you? Stop trying to dictate and learn to listen. Does that mean she's going to be right all the time? Of course not. But you'll be surprised how much more peace you'll have in your life if you just simply learn to listen. And that's our show for tonight. Another wonderful one-hour run. Thank you all. Thank you, Theotis. Thank you, Pat, for chiming in. Put down that number, 619-639-4747. It'll be available. We're going to do this one more time tomorrow, and then we'll be shifting everything up to the Great Northwest and continuing on from there. So remember, I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And we'll see you back here next time on A Time to Heal. My name is Vinnie Moore. Good night, everybody.